There we go. We had a bit of Chopin earlier on with Could It Be Magic, and that was a bit of Holst from the Planet Suite, Gustav Holst's Planet Suite, and that was Joybringer by Manfred Mann. They were going to make a whole concept album based on Gustav Holst's Planet Suite, but they shelved it because Holst's estate said that they weren't allowed to do it, so they got rid of their solar system concept album. Those kind of things could happen back in the day, Simon. You don't get that kind of nonsense now, do you?
No, this is fascinating stuff.
That's in the days of prog rock when they'd sit around going, hey man, would it be cool to do an album on the Holst Planet Suite, man?
Brilliant.
Simon from El País, good morning. Nice to talk to you. A week is a long time in politics, as they say. You've certainly had a week of it in Madrid. You've had everything from darker ballot papers to topless protesters.
Yes, never a dull moment. There's always quite a nice series of anecdotes to report from an election day in Spain.
Yeah.
My personal anecdote is that my poor wife had to go and man one of the polling booths, which you are obliged to do on pain of receiving a fine if you don't turn up.
Oh, and, really? Yeah, it's like appearing in court on the jury, then. If you're told to do it, you have to do it.
Absolutely, yeah. She had to turn up at 8 o'clock. She was a standby official, so it was only if one person who was supposed to turn up didn't turn up, had some sort of reasonable excuse, didn't come along, that she was going to have to stay. But unfortunately, she did have to stay. And she was there from 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't think she got home till about 11 o'clock. I mean, it's quite a serious day of work. Yeah, it is. And of course, I mean, you know, this is one of the things about calling this election now. We're still in the middle of the pandemic. Madrid is not in a good place.
No.
And of course, you're sitting there watching, you know, hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people file in front of you and cast a ballot. I mean, there were lots of precautions taken, but I can't say it's the best time, to be holding an election. But there
no,
you go.
No.
Now, this just to give the background, this is weird butterfly effect. The whole reason that we had this election was because of some shenanigans going on down in Murcia. Mm-hmm. In Murcia, the Socialist Party and citizens tried to file a motion of no confidence against the PP-run government, the Popular Party-run government. That bid failed, but it kind of sparked this chain of events where basically the PP premier here in Madrid thought that the same thing was going to happen. She was governing in coalition with citizens and was propped up by Vox, and things weren't going well. I mean, obviously, it's been extraordinary times because of the pandemic,
yeah.
But I have to say, I mean, the Popular Party is not particularly good at sharing power or, you know, coordinating with other parties. In fact, you could probably say that about all the political parties in Spain, given that until not so long ago we had a two-party system, and it's really the emergence of these new parties that have shaken things up. So she called an early election. As we've spoken about many times, you know, Isabel Díaz Ayuso's approach to the pandemic has been
colourful.
I mean, she framed it pretty early on as a sort of battle against the Central Socialist Party, Unidas Podemos-led coalition government here in Madrid, and has pretty much been waging a war against Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. Mm. Also, I mean, you know, the data has not been good all the way along in Madrid, but despite the high coronavirus incidence and the high number of fatalities from COVID-19, she's refused to shut down the bars and the restaurants, or to, you know, implement any stricter restrictions, and it was a really quite populist approach. The slogans that she was using was freedom or communism.
Yeah.
And in quite, I don't know if this was, you know, her team trolling us or if it was a masterstroke, but when we received all of the, you know, everyone receives these letters from the parties with their, you know, policies and their you know, propaganda, to give it a word, through the post. Well, all of them, you know, had a picture of the candidate on one side, and then the policies on the back,
yep.
except for Ayuso's. Ayuso's just had a picture of Ayuso, the word freedom in Spanish, and you turned it around on the back, and there was just nothing there.
Oh, God.
as if she was kind of freely admitting that she didn't really have any policies, but was just campaigning on this kind of empty slogan. This is an important election. It's not. This isn't like voting for your local council where they're in charge of collecting the bins.
Sure.
The regional government is in charge of the education system and a key factor. They're in charge of their healthcare system, and they're also in charge of the vaccination drive and the coronavirus measures. So this was serious stuff. So anyway, the upshot was that we got the result that we were expecting. There was a record turnout, which was very interesting to see. I think really probably the only surprise is that the PP actually took more support than we were perhaps expecting. They got 65 seats, where an absolute majority is 69 seats.
Mm-hmm.
She got more seats than the three leftist parties combined. But I think probably the good news, if you're not a fan of far-right Vox, the good news is that Vox actually only picked up one seat compared to the 2019 elections. And also, the PP have picked up so many seats that it's not really now on the cards for the PP and Vox to create a coalition government. Vox has said basically that it will support Ayuso with forming a government, and we can assume that it will also support her as she passes legislation.
And I'm guessing if they abstain, then she has a majority anyway, right?
Exactly, yeah, because in the second round of votes, if she hasn't got an absolute majority in the first round, it doesn't matter because it goes to a second round and you just need a simple majority for that. So big day for her. I mean, it kind of, it makes the national scene very complicated, because a lot of the PP barons, as they call them, the regional chiefs from around the country, aren't massive fans of her style of governing and don't want to kind of go down that route. And really, the Popular Party has been in a lot of trouble over recent years because it just doesn't know how to deal with Vox. Every time it kind of goes closer to Vox and goes further right, it really suffers in the polls. I mean, they got their worst national election result of all time in one of the many national elections that we've had over recent years. It's very difficult to know where Pablo Casado, the national leader of the party, should steer the party, because Ayuso's really, become quite a political phenomenon. And the other really big news last night was the decision by Pablo Iglesias, the founder of Podemos and the current leader of Unidas Podemos, which is the bloc that was formed between the United Left and Podemos several years ago. He has decided to completely quit politics and step away. Which was quite a surprise. It was coming. We knew it was coming, but I don't think it was expected that he would do it this early. He'd already stepped down as the deputy prime minister of the national government a month or so ago to run as the candidate in this Madrid election, which surprised a lot of people, because obviously he's really fought to make a name for the party and get the party in the position that it's in, which is a coalition, a partner in the coalition national government. But he also let's just say it's a bit of a shock that he would step away at this point. But there's quite a lot of factors that have played into this. He's been suffering a huge amount of abuse, not just in the media, but also from the public. I mean, there's been almost daily protests outside of his house. His partner is also she's a deputy in the national government, and they've been constantly harassed, and there were the death threats that were sent not just to him but to other members of other high profile members. And I think that's probably weighed on his decision. But I think also he admitted, he has become such a target, he's such a polarizing figure in Spanish politics now, that it's probably probably the a good moment for him to step away and to make room for some sort of renovation of the party, which didn't fare particularly well in yesterday's elections either. Nor did this Socialist Party, which actually lost a huge amount of support compared to the 2019 election. So yeah, so it's a complicated, it's left a complicated outcome, which is no doubt going to have repercussions on the national level as well. I know we get some of our readers that you complain that we're a very sort of Madrid focused publication sometimes, yeah. Which is probably true, because obviously we live here.
Yes.
It's the capital city. It's the, you know, it's a major, it's an important region. But yeah, I think you're going to have to excuse us for getting a bit carried away with the coverage on this, because it is going to have ramifications on the national level.
Well, and there's definitely a lesson in subliminal advertising there. If you call your party the Popular Party, look what happens. The not quite so popular party didn't do very well at all, but there we are.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about developments in COVID. We rattle towards the 9th of May and the state of alarm disappearing. I know lots of people, including Andalusia, are very unhappy about losing the state of alarm and want to have a little bit more power. But there's some positive news that Spain administered more vaccines in April than in the first 3 months of the year, and monthly deaths have fallen to the lowest point since last summer.
Yeah, absolutely. So Spain got to this first target that the Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez set out, to have 5 million people fully vaccinated by the first week of May. So we hit that target. That's the equivalent of 10.8% of the population. The regions have administered 17.1 million doses, which is a full 97% of the total received. So now, the as we know, the final objective is to have 70% of the population immunized by the end of August. The next goal that's upcoming is to have 10 million people vaccinated with the two doses by the first week of June, then 15 million by the third week of June, and 25 million by the fourth week of July. So that would be approximately the entire population of Spain that's over the age of 50. I mean, it really, you know, the speed really has ramped up. Of course, we were all, you know, there are lots of complaints to start with about how slow it was going in Spain. But I mean, you know, on Friday they administered over 500,000 shots in a single day, which is a new record. And again, over the weekend, more than 750,000 doses were injected. Now, it is getting a bit complicated now because of these problems with the vaccines. I mean, the big issues being obviously around AstraZeneca, as we all know, but also with Janssen, which is basically having the same issues over these very rare blood clots, which seem to be occurring in younger people, which mean that the health authorities basically are deciding that they will be using these vaccines mostly on older people. But the problem with that is that most of the older population of Spain has now either been, you know, vaccinated with two doses of Pfizer and Moderna, or has had at least one. So we're actually looking at a situation where we could see, you know, these, we're going to get 5.5 million doses of the single dose Janssen vaccine this quarter, but they could end up just sort of sitting in the fridge if the under 60s are not going to get them. Spain seems to be dragging its heels a bit on taking these decisions, because we're at the point now where the essential workers who were given a first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine 12 weeks ago are now due their second dose. Those that had them, you know, right at the beginning, right at the start. The Spanish government has basically decided to delay taking a decision. They're going to run a trial where they're going to investigate various different options, which basically are either to give everyone who's had their first dose a second dose of AstraZeneca, or to give them a second dose of a different vaccine, such as the Pfizer vaccine, or just not to give them a second dose at all, just to minimize the risks, the tiny, tiny risks of these blood clots. So we're in a bit of a strange situation at the moment. Until the decision is made on what's going to happen. That said, some under 60, some regions now are starting to vaccinate the under 60s in Aragon, Andalusia and Navarra. They've started to call people over the age of 55. Catalonia, the Balearic Islands and the Basque Country are going to do the same as well. But the plan for this group has not been fully defined. So it's kind of still a bit unclear. The latest strategy update from the central government said that people age 50 to 59 will receive the available vaccine, and that pretty much means that they're going to get the Pfizer and the Moderna and the AstraZeneca and the Janssen for now is still not going to be used on younger age groups. So we're going to have to kind of wait and see what the decisions are, what decisions are taken. But let's bear in mind, of course, that the European Medicines Agency has said that, you know, these vaccines, AstraZeneca and Janssen, are safe and the benefits greatly outweigh the risks. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Having said that, the supply of the Pfizer vaccine is really been ramped up, which means that there's no shortage of that vaccine going around. So that's very positive. We may find that ends up being used more widely among the population than was perhaps expected at the outset.
Great. Nicely summarised, sir. It's another watch this space, and there's lots of babbling this morning in the UK about whether Spain will be on the green list for travel and all the rest of it. Nowhere near herd immunity and those kind of numbers you've just said, but it's an interesting one as to whether that will happen or not. I know the Brit politicians this morning, I heard them trying to put everybody off, saying how dreadful it was in Spain with the coronavirus rampant. It's just extraordinary, you know? Really quite unbelievable. We shall see. Simon, those stories and many more, if you just Google El País in English, you will find it there. Thank you once again, and we'll speak next time.
Thanks, Bill.
All the best. Bye-bye.